The whole concept of the warehouse for me began when I lived in Chicago, and it was in the late 60s. I was working at a place called Barnaby's in the near north side of town. And every Sunday, they had a big promotion going on, and they would have alternating bands. Alternating Sundays, two bands would play. One was called Baby Huey and the Babysitters, and on the following Sunday, a group would play. Their name was called The Big Thing. Today, 40-something years later, they're called, and still called, Chicago. So it was like early 1969, Jimmy Gershio, who was the producer for Blood, Sweat, and Tears, took the group, The Big Thing. They took them to New York to record an album and changed their name to the CTA. It was for that one album only, because the CTA in Chicago said, you can't use our name. And they invited me. They said, come to New York one weekend and come see us record and blah, 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 and I did. And so I'm recording, does anyone really know what time it is? And I'm a man. That same weekend, I went to see them perform at Bill Graham's Fillmore East. They were the opening act for Buddy Miles. It was, for me, unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I knew in Chicago there was an Aragon Ballroom at that time, which was another place where a lot of groups would come. So I said, man, we didn't have anything like this in New Orleans. I went back to Chicago. I immediately got my two roommates, and I told them, I said, fellas, we got to go to New Orleans. So, I mean, I just saw this place in New York that was just unbelievable. And I went talking to them about it. Neither one of them were in the music business. We all worked in the near north side of Chicago. They worked at some bars, and I worked at others. I went down to New Orleans to try to find a place first, before we got everybody in motion. I had an attorney in Chicago, a friend of mine. His name was Joe Garlowski. And Joe told me, he says, well, when you go to New Orleans, you're going to need an attorney. So here's somebody I want you to call. John Simmons was his name. And when I got to New Orleans, I called John, told him what I was looking for, told him who introduced me to him, and John found an agent and took us around trying to find a building big enough to do a venue like this. We were looking to put a few thousand people in a place. So obviously, the first place to look was down in that warehouse district. And we looked at a few places, but I don't remember how many places we looked at, but we found the warehouse almost immediately. And the agent talked with the owner of the building, and we found out that we could have it. We can lease it. We leased it before we eventually leased it with an option to purchase it. Ryan Glenn was a friend of mine that worked the bar scene at the same time I was working it. We never really worked in the same place, but I knew Ryan, and he had a great reputation, taking care of business and in that bar environment. And so I told him what I was doing and asked him if he wanted to come down and, work for us and whatever. And he said, certainly. And then on the way down to New Orleans, when he was driving down, he stopped in Carbondale to pick up Don Fox. So I knew Fox because at one of the places where I was working, Fox was working the door, and I was working as a bartender for a short period of time. But we never really hung out. Like, I hung out with Brian a little bit. And shortly thereafter, we started working. We had all kind of friends just coming in, pitching in to help us. And my two roommates in Chicago, they decided, this was like right away, just about, they decided that they didn't want to be involved in this thing at all. And it just wasn't, they didn't like the fact that the New Orleans police didn't like hippies and that whole thing. So they decided to get out immediately, and Fox and Brian bought them out. And then eventually, John Simmons, we didn't have money to pay him. He came on board as it was the four of us. It was the four partners. And that was, that's basically, the rest is history, man. That's how it all got together. the first show was January 30th and 31, 1970. Grateful Dead, Fleetwood Mac, and The Flock. The Flock was a local band that played in Chicago, that we knew from Chicago. But the very first show was booked by a gentleman by the name of Hank Newman, who was involved in the music industry in Chicago in some kind of capacity. Never knew exactly what. He was a friend of one of my roommates, and so I met him and started talking to him, and he agreed that he would book that first show for us, which he did. And then the rest is history. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. We didn't have a clue. We didn't have any money. We didn't have anything. We had nothing. We had lots of great friends. We had friends that would lend us the money, and we'd always pay everybody back. Lend us the money, pay it back. Chicago came down and actually played a show for us for free. Right in the very beginning, they played it. They only paid for theirs. We just had to give money for expenses, and then we'd be able to keep the money. We've had a few groups, Foghat, and I'm pretty sure ZZ did something for Fox, you know, after I had left. After the, I left at the end of 74, beginning of 75, I don't remember the exact date. A funny story, as I look back on it, about 8 months, a year before we even this whole warehouse thing was going to come about, my roommate Dennis and I were visiting some friends who was down in Manzanillo in Mexico. So we went down there. They invited us to come down for a week, and we went down there for a week, and Bill stayed. The other roommate was Bill. He stayed in Chicago because during that time period, you may remember this, and or maybe you won't, but they had a place, we had one here in New Orleans called Your Father's Mustache on Bourbon Street. Well, they had a chain of these around the country, and my roommate Bill was taking over to open a bar, a place, Your Father's Mustache in Chicago. And that's why he couldn't come to Mexico with us. So Dennis and I are down there, we're on the beach, drinking mezcal with the worm in this damn thing, and just all of a sudden just got drunk as could be. And out of the clear blue, Dennis says, "Man, I got a great idea." He says, "When Bill opens his place in Chicago, since it was called your father's mustache, what he should call it is your mother's beaver." So we roared and we laughed and whatever. Fast forward, when Simmons and I found this warehouse place, the next thing we had to do was John says, "Well, we got to form a corporation, and we're going to have to, what do you want to call it?" Well, I had no idea. I wasn't thinking of anything. And then I remembered that story with Dennis said. And that's when I said, "Well, Beaver Productions." And not too many people knew that story, because when we were interviewed during that era, whenever anybody said, "Why did you call it Beaver Productions?" I just said, we were three young industrious animals, and so were beavers. And I've used that as an analogy. But, as I think back on it right now, it was pretty funny.